Since earliest recorded history, assassination has been a common practice to eliminate heads of state. Political murders, which have gone on through the ages, have changed the destiny of nations, the social makeup of people, and even the future of the human race. As the World Encyclopedia of Assassination shows, the motives of assassins have been varied, from personal, psychopathic, and government sanction, to the most consistent and horrific, revolution. The World Encyclopedia of Assassination is designed to offer the most comprehensive history of this ages-old crime. But more than a history is offered herein. The victim, of course, is profiled in depth, but so too are most of the assassins, for little attention has been paid to the perpetrators by historians. Their background, social and psychological makeup, their motives and methods are presented in depth. Assassination, unlike murder, is seldom a spontaneous act. As a political killing, the act is carefully planned. The perpetrator creates false explanations far in advance of the deed. With the dynasties of emperors and kings, assassination was a way of political life that assured continued power through bloodlines that were tenaciously preserved. This was clearly evident in one of the first important political assassinations in world history, that of Philip II of Macedonia in 336 BC. This political killing was plotted by Philip's abandoned third wife, Olympias, so that her son, Alexander the Great, could inherit the throne. Olympias herself was assassinated by her enemies in 316 BC, and Alexander's son, Alexander IV, was slain. The kings and queens of ancient Egypt regularly practiced assassinations 200 years before Christ. Queen Cleopatra VII, who became the consort of Julius Caesar, ordered the assassination of her own brother Ptolemy so that Caesarion, the son produced through her liaison with Caesar, could later assume the throne. Caesar was himself the victim of a celebrated political assassination by certain members of the Roman Senate to prevent his becoming emperor. His son, Ptolemy XV, was ordered assassinated by Octavian, Caesar's successor. So heinous a crime was the act of assassination to Dante that he placed Brutus and Cassius, knife-wielding murderers of Caesar, in the very mouth of Lucifer in his Inferno. Though Caesar's assassins are remembered, it is ironic that history has generally ignored the assassin who has rarely become more famous than his victim. This is justice in a way, but the social and political identity of the assassin is necessary in understanding his reasons for murder. It is nevertheless true that only a few archivists might remember the name of the four lethal knights who slew Thomas Becket at the order of Henry II. The same is true of the killers of Mahatma Gandhi, and eventually it will be true of the slayer or slayers of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. The history of the Roman Empire is notoriously replete with assassination, which was at the very core of Rome's existence. 800 years before Christ, Romulus, one of the legendary twins who founded Rome, killed his own brother for defying him. He also slew Amulus, the king of Alba Longa. In almost every century of Rome's arrogant empire, its noblemen and leaders were assassinated for political reasons. In 534 BC, Servius Tullius, king of Rome, was slain by Tarquin the Proud. Gnaeus Genucius was slain in 473 BC. Cissius Donatius was murdered in 450 BC. Rome was historically ruled by dictators and tyrants. When any leader attempted reform, as did the Gracchus family, the threat to total power was eliminated by assassination. Tiberius Sempronius Gracchus, who was called the People's Tribune, deserted the elitist class of Rome to promote democracy. The privileges of the landowners and the nobles were restricted or altogether stopped by Gracchus, who decreed a democratic election in 133 BC. The oligarchic party promptly sent assassins to murder Gracchus, and the land reform movement ceased. Tiberius was rightly put to death, remarked Scipio the Younger, who led the conservatives in their battles against Gracchus, and who may have been one of the actual assassins who murdered Gracchus. 3 years later, in 130 BC, Scipio himself was assassinated by followers of Gracchus, which led to a blood purge of the People's Party in 121 BC, including the assassination of Gaius Sempronius Gracchus, the younger brother of Tiberius Gracchus. Reform in ancient Rome was effectively crushed for hundreds of years through assassination. From that point, assassination in Rome became a ritual for those seeking and holding power. 4 years before the political murder of Julius Caesar, Caelius, the praetor of Rome, joined with Tribune Milo in a revolt against Caesar. Caelius was assassinated. One of Rome's worst tyrants, the emperor Caligula, reveled in wholesale murder and assassination. He took power by having his cousin, Tiberius Gemellius, with whom he shared the throne, assassinated. From that point on, Caligula ordered bloodfests in the arena, where Christians and those who opposed him were thrown to lions and tigers. Caligula ordered the torture and murder of anyone who displeased him, including those in his own ruling class. Caligula's power rested on the strong arm of the army and his palace troops, the Praetorian Guard. The prefect of the guard, Macro, the very man who had assassinated Tiberius and made it possible for Caligula to inherit the throne, cautioned Caligula that he was earning a bloodthirsty reputation. Caligula ordered Macro assassinated and then berated Cassius Cecera, tribune of the guard, for not addressing him as God. Humiliated, Cecera, on January 24, 41 AD, waylaid Caligula as he was leaving a theater and, with aides, slashed the tyrant to death. Cecera then woke the members of the Roman Senate to announce that the return of liberty had come back to Rome, and he urged the senators to embrace the freedoms that had flourished under the old republic. Rome's ruling class was by then too corrupt to risk losing its riches and power. Instead of restoring the republic, the senators named Tiberius Claudius Drusus as emperor. The slaughterhouse practice of the lunatic Caligula were often excelled by Claudius, who encouraged blood sports in the arena. He whimsically ordered Roman citizens, including nobles, into the arena to be murdered by gladiators. Claudius's undoing proved to be women. He married Messalina, a palace whore, at age 60 and endured her countless infidelities and intrigues until ordering her assassination in 48 AD. The scheming Agrippina was Claudius's fourth and last wife. She busied herself with endless plots to murder her husband and finally assassinated him by personally serving him a poisoned dish at a banquet on October the 13th, 54 AD. Her son, Nero, for whom she had murdered Claudius, then assumed the throne. Nero proved to be as ruthless as Caligula and Claudius, persecuting the Christians and gleefully watching as his chief poisoner, Locasta, tested new poisons on slaves, who died painfully before him. It was the same Locasta who had provided the poison Agrippina had used to murder Claudius. When the dominating Agrippina interfered with Nero's sex orgies with mistresses, Nero attempted to poison her. When this failed, his assassins unsuccessfully tried to cause a ceiling to collapse on Agrippina. Nero finally accomplished his mother's assassination in 59 AD by having his guards cut her to pieces with their swords. Nero then had his wife Octavia assassinated in June 62 AD so he could marry the promiscuous wife of a Roman senator. At Nero's instigation, the great fire that consumed most of Rome was set on July 19, 64 AD, an inferno that was blamed on the Christians, whom Nero then slaughtered. His excesses became so intolerable to the ruling classes that Nero was driven into exile, where he committed suicide. He was replaced by General Galba, who was himself assassinated by soldiers in 69 AD, only 6 months after he assumed power. After the time of the degenerate Roman Empire, assassination saw widespread practice in all lands, but it was exercised chiefly by individuals. In rare instances, organized assassination occurred, such as that of Julius Caesar, but it remained for a fanatical Islamic sect, the Ismaili, led by the murderous Old Man of the Mountain, to establish organized assassination at the end of the 11th century. The Old Man of the Mountain was Hassan ibn al-Sabah, and his murderous sect was known as the Order of the Assassins. The very word assassin stems from this sect. Members of the order, which was headquartered in the Elsberg Mountains of what is now present-day Syria, used hashish as part of their rituals. This led to sect members being called Hashishin, a name later corrupted by Europeans to the word assassin. In this mountain retreat, Hassan converted a valley into a luxurious garden filled with beautiful pavilions, flowers, fruits, and runnels flowing with milk, honey, and wine. Attractive female dancers and singers entertained Hassan's followers, who were given hashish and then sent forth to murder Hassan's political foes. All of Hassan's fanatical followers were promised that, if they did their master's murderous biddings, they would inherit the paradise Hassan had created in his enchanted valley. One of these opponents was Nizam el-Mulk, Grand Vizier of Turkey. Hassan sent one of his assassins, disguised as a holy man, to Nizam's court to bless Nizam with a knife thrust through the chest. Another Hassan assassin later murdered one of Nizam's sons, who had vowed to avenge his father's death. This time, the assassin posed as a beggar. Hassan selected his assassins with great care, training these dedicated followers in the many methods of killing and instructing them with all the details and backgrounds of his intended victims. Hassan's purpose in assassinating hundreds of high-ranking political foes was to unify all Islamic lands under his leadership, an ambition that was never fulfilled. The common people so feared Hassan and his followers that they gave the sect only lip service. Hassan lived to the age of 90 and was replaced by another old man of the mountain, Sheikha Sinan, who opposed Islamic leader Saladin and his attempt to unite all Muslims under his banner. Saladin survived many assassination attempts on his life made by Sinan's killers and finally made a truce with Sinan, which allowed the old man to retain control of Syria and Egypt. Leaders of the Third Crusade were singled out by Sinan for execution. Sinan's assassins became fluent in the Frankish language and learned the Christian liturgical rituals so that they could pose as monks and live within the ranks of the Crusaders for months before killing the victims selected by Sinan. Conrad of Montferrat, one of the most important leaders of the Third Crusade, was assassinated only after Sinan's killers had become members of Conrad's court for 6 months, slaying him in a church. More than a century later, the Order of the Assassins was still wielding power and terror. Their fortresses and strongholds in Syria and Egypt were finally overcome by forces under Hulagu, grandson of Genghis Khan, and the Mamluk Sultan of Egypt in 1256. By then, organized assassination was established in political circles throughout Europe. In China and Japan, political murder was a way of life among elitist rulers. With the Industrial Revolution came social revolutions that threatened the monarchies of Europe, big and small. In the 19th century, the anarchist cause saw dozens of assassins flock to its ranks. These fanatical killers struck at royalty in a savage and suicidal manner. Many of the assassins of this era gave no thought to escape, the sole purpose being to murder a monarch at any price. By the 1880s, almost every royal throne in Europe had been threatened by assassins. In Russia, Alexander II had put through tremendous reforms in fleeing the serfs, establishing schools throughout the land, ordering a vast railroad system to link the cities and towns of Russia, and improving government administration. He then established a university system which became a hotbed of opposition against him, although Alexander was probably the most enlightened monarch Europe had seen in hundreds of years. Nihilist parties, which were aimed at destroying all authority and were the precursors of anarchists, marked Alexander for assassination and made numerous attempts on his life. In 1881, they succeeded in blowing up his carriage and mortally wounding him. His grandson, who would become Nicholas II, was in the royal party attending Alexander's deathbed. Nicholas himself would be executed in the following century by savage Bolsheviks, an assassination that would mark the end of the Romanov dynasty. During the 1890s, the anarchists flourished in France. One of these was 20-year-old Santo Caserio, an apprentice baker. In June 1894, Caserio learned that President Carnot would be riding in an open carriage through the streets of Lyon. Caserio waited in the waving crowds until the carriage appeared, and then leaped onto the carriage and drove a knife into Carnot's stomach, causing a mortal wound. Anarchists struck everywhere. In 1898, Elizabeth, Empress of Austro-Hungary, was killed in Geneva, Switzerland by an Italian anarchist who could barely pronounce his victim's name. Another anarchist shot and killed King Humbert I of Italy at Monza as the king was handing out prizes to winners of athletic contests. The killer was Gaetano Bresci, who had been chosen by lot from his anarchist cell in Paterson, New Jersey, and had traveled to Italy with the sole purpose of assassinating Humbert. Leon Czolgosz, an American anarchist, read of Humbert's murder and was inspired to duplicate Bresci's mad act. On September 6, 1901, Czolgosz slipped into a reception line to greet President William McKinley at the World Exposition in Buffalo, New York. Czolgosz carried a small gun in his hand, which he covered with a handkerchief to give the appearance of a bandage covering an injury. When McKinley reached out to shake the anarchist's hand, Czolgosz fatally shot the president. Anarchists led a mob in Lisbon, Portugal on February 1, 1908, when it attacked the carriage carrying King Carlos, his two sons, and wife. At one point in the procession, a number of bullets were fired at the carriage just as Alfredo Costa, an ironmonger, leaped on the footrest of the carriage and fired two bullets into Carlos, killing him. Costa was pummeled by Queen Marie with a bouquet of flowers that had been given to her only minutes earlier. Costa fell from the carriage and was shot to death by police. Revolutionaries around the globe struck blindly at any and all figures of authority. In Mexico, which was in constant state of revolution from 1912 to 1920, assassination was the order of the day. In 1913, President Francisco Madero was murdered on orders from General Victoriano Huerta, who then seized power. In 1919, Emiliano Zapata, Mexico's foremost patriot and revolutionary leader, was assassinated by troops loyal to Álvaro Obregón. Venustiano Carranza, President of Mexico, was killed the following year by assassins sent by Obregón. On July 10, 1923, Obregón henchmen shot and killed the colorful revolutionary Pancho Villa in Parral, Mexico. Obregón, who ruled Mexico through stooge presidents and who had persecuted the Catholic Church, was himself assassinated in 1928 as he sat in a restaurant. His assassin, who was a religious fanatic, pretended to be an artist and was drawing Obregón's picture when he shot the strongman point-blank in the face. In Europe, nationalist groups in many countries embraced assassination to achieve their ends. The most ruthless was the Black Hand Society, a secret Serbian nationalist organization led by a conniving Serbian officer, Dragutin Dimitrijević. It was Dimitrijević that led a cadre of officer assassins into the royal palace in Belgrade to shoot and hack to death King Alexander I and Queen Draga on June 10, 1903. Dimitrijević was the man behind the group of boys who traveled to Sarajevo in 1914 to assassinate Archduke Francis Ferdinand and who personally gave youthful Gavrilo Princip the gun the youth used in shooting to death the heir to the Austrian throne. It was this assassination, more than any other factor in that time of boiling political hatreds, that provoked World War I. During the 1930s, a rash of assassinations occurred in Japan at the instigation of Japanese nationalists acting on secret orders of Emperor Hirohito, who intended to remove all liberal government leaders who stood in the path of his plan for Asian conquest. In Europe, the assassinations of Alexander I of Yugoslavia and French Foreign Minister Jean-Louis Barthot and Austrian Chancellor Engelbert Dollfuss in 1934 could be laid at the door of the Nazis. America was relatively free of assassination until the murder of President Abraham Lincoln in 1865 by the demented actor John Wilkes Booth. President James Abram Garfield was assassinated in 1881 by an equally insane job seeker, Charles Julius Guiteau. Booth was certainly a member of a conspiracy to kill Lincoln, one that may not be fully exposed to this day, whereas Guiteau acted alone, as did William McKinley's assassin, Leon Czolgosz. In 1933, another lone malcontent, Joseph Zangara, fired several shots at the car carrying Franklin D. Roosevelt in a wild attempt to assassinate the president-elect in Miami. Those Angeras bullets missed Roosevelt. They struck and killed Chicago Mayor Anton Cermak, who was riding in the car with the president. Not until the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in 1963 did assassination in America take on epic proportions of conspiracy and public awareness. An avalanche of publicity, books, pamphlets, investigations, movies, and TV probes have continued to keep alive a deep interest in Kennedy's murder and a constant quest for the possible identity of assassins beyond Lee Harvey Oswald. The assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy in 1968 have only served to fascinate and intrigue Americans almost to obsession with the slaying of President Kennedy and liberal leaders of his era. The assassination attempts made against President Ford and President Reagan have emphasized the fact that assassination is not a crime of the deep past, but one that consistently raises its political hand of murder in striking at world leaders. The World Encyclopedia of Assassination provides the most comprehensive history of political murder since this heinous crime was first recorded. It is a history that charts revolution, fanatical religious and political sects, and in particular, the lone assassin who lurks from decade to decade with dark and inexplicable purpose.